warp step, seeking a position so that he could strike at two opponents quickly. But then Catibria appeared between him and his enemies, her newest magical Dreamer, offensive in nature, eliminating the enchantment of invisibility. She lifted her hands up before her and brought forth a fan of flames to intercept the charge. The three attackers skidded to a stop, one diving into a roll on the beach sand, all three batting furiously at the biting fires.
"The archer!"
Regis started to yell, but as the flames dissipated and he looked past Catibria and the attackers, he saw the distant woman lying flat on the ground, face down. Catibria fell into spellcasting again, and Regis pushed past her, his rapier driving aside the sword of the man in the center. Regis rolled his blade over that sword and quick-stepped forward as he thrust, his rapier striking hard and true, the halfling's added strength driving the tip home. Hardly watching as that man fell backward, Regis half-turned to his right. Now he did use his ring, stepping forward past the charging man, too fast for the ruffian to even register the step. The halfling's dagger went deep into that one's back, and he fell straight down, his legs folding under him. Regis swung around, to see the man he had stuck with the rapier coming right back in, but at Catibria and not him. Regis flicked his wrist, throwing a small snake out at the pirate, and he yelled out, demanding the man's attention. That proved enough to break the attacker's momentum, and by the time the ruffian realized what was transpiring, the magical snake had slithered up around his neck. Regis winced, as always, at the sight of that leering, rotting, ghostly face, grinning back at him over the man's shoulder, pulling tight the snake garrote. Over went the swordsman, down to the ground, his sword flying free. He thrashed around, but could not get his fingers under the choking garrote. In desperation, he took a different tack, grabbing up his blade and stabbing hard over his shoulder, as if sensing the spectral presence. To his relief, and to Regis's surprise, the ghostly creature exploded into a burst of insubstantial fog as the blade struck it in the face, flying away to nothingness, and the snake too died, letting go its deadly grip. The pirate took in a big gulp of air and moved to rise, but Regis was there, stabbing down with his rapier into one shoulder, then the other, and as the pirate fell back, a second snake landed upon him and rushed up around his throat. He thrashed and tried to stab once more, but the halfling stomped on his hand and stabbed him again in the shoulder, stealing his strength. The pirate gasped, trying desperately to draw in air. With his free hand, he clawed at the choking serpent and tried pitifully to punch back over his shoulder, but to no avail. His eyes bulged and Regis winced and started to turn away. But the halfling found he could not avert his gaze, and he watched, mesmerized, as the pirate's eyes rolled back and the man lay still. Regis couldn't stomach this. It was too personal, too merciless for him. He jabbed his rapier down again hard for the ghost and not the pirate. Another burst of fog and the specter was gone, and the second snake lay dead, and for a moment Regis thought the pirate lay dead as well. But then the man groaned a little bit and shifted, barely drawing breath. Confident that the wounded man would bother them no more, Regis leaped away, charging the third of the group, who had come up from the sand by then to close in on Catibria. The woman stood facing him, and her calm demeanor tipped Regis off to the truth of the encounter, for the ruffian had half risen, one foot planted beneath him, one knee still on the ground, but there he stayed, perfectly still, frozen in place, held by some magical Dwyamer. Smoke wafted from his clothing still, for he had been hit fully with the burning hands of Catibria, and indeed, one flame returned to life, flickering on his left shoulder as he stood there. "Your leg," Catibria said with alarm, and she bent toward the arrow. Regis walked right past her as she moved to help him, though, staring at the ruffian. He patted out the flame and studied the pirate, for he recognized this one as the man he had put at rapier tip on the upstream span in Luskin. He moved his rapier for the man's throat once more, thinking to finish him off. "Regis, no," Catibria scolded. "He will not threaten us for a long while, I assure you." Regis looked around. None of the four seemed in any condition to threaten anyone any longer. One lay on the ground, the life nearly choked out of him, and lines of blood around his shoulders and arms. A second squirmed on the ground, back the other way, barely moving and moving not at all from his waist down. Back by the trees, the woman archer lay very still, face down in the dirt. Catibria began to cast a spell.
"What happened to her?"
Regis asked. nodding his chin toward the woman, and he grunted and sucked in his breath as Catty Bree bent low and tugged the arrow from his leg, the moment of burning pain fast replaced by the soothing warmth of magical healing. Catty Bree rose up beside him, supporting him in the uncomfortable moments until her spell took full effect. He looked into her blue eyes once more, and it seemed to him as if the years just melted away to nothingness, as if he and his dear friend had never been apart. He pulled her into his arms and crushed her in a hug.
"My gratitude, my friend," he whispered into her ear. "I have not forgotten how you tried to help me when I was wounded by the spell plague," Catty Bree whispered back. "So many things I have not forgotten."
"Nor I,"
Regis assured her, and he half broke the embrace and began to lead her off toward the woman lying by the trees.
"My aim proved better than I expected,"
Regis said when they arrived, and he found a small quarrel sticking from the side of the woman's neck. He bent low to retrieve the hand crossbow bolt and half-turned the sleeping woman to her side. This one, too, Regis recognized from his encounter on Luskin's bridge.
"Or my luck,"
the halfling added, and he could only shake his head, for he hadn't even been aiming at the archer when he fired off his hand crossbow. And what a fine bit of luck this had been indeed.
"Ah, Regis, ever the fortunate one," Catty Bree said. "Lucky to have friends such as Catty Bree, I agree," he replied.
The drow watched from the shadows of the trees, not sure what to make of the scene before him. Where had this ally of the halfling come from, Braille and Jan Kay wondered.
"Spell plague?"
he silently mouthed as he considered the conversation between the two. He had been sent to Icewind Dale to watch over this curious halfling, who, it seemed to him now, had become more curious the more he watched. Braylon shook his head helplessly. After witnessing the display before him, the drow was fairly certain that little up here was as it seemed.
"Regis," he whispered,
mouthing the name the woman had called the little one, who had traveled under the moniker of Spider Topolino back in Luskin. That name, Regis, seemed to ring a distant bell, but Braylon couldn't place it. The halfling's reply, however, the naming of the woman as Catty Bree, certainly held significance even to this young drow, who had only recently entered into the ranks of Bregan de Earth. Braylon Jan Kay nodded, thinking that Jarlaxle